Welcome to the Week Ahead podcast. I'm joined by my colleague and chief economist, Craig James. I'm market analyst, Steve Daglian, and we're here to preview the upcoming holiday shortened week starting the 10th of April. Craig, good to see you again.
Mr. Daglian, good to be here.
Well, taking stock firstly of where markets have been recently, where, you know, it's a pretty quiet session at the moment. We're heading into that extra long 4-day Easter weekend, so it's probably not surprising and not that uncommon either to see markets, you know, being a little bit cautious heading into that. But it's been a positive start to the month. We've had 8 straight days of gains. And the last time that happened, believe it or not, was 5.5 years ago. So it doesn't really happen very often. Markets in a much better mood than they were a few weeks ago. And this week was very much dominated by the Reserve Bank holding rates or keeping rates on hold.
Yes, it was a very close call whether the Reserve Bank would pause this time around after 10 consecutive interest rate hikes. And really assess the information that's come through, because the Reserve Bank does say that it's long and variable lags that are associated with monetary policy. It doesn't have instantaneous impact in terms of the economy. It takes time to take effect. So it's time now to be able to stand back and be able to assess, you know, the impact on the economy. Some people were moving for a 25 basis point. Yes, so then sit down and pause. Mm. Or just pause now and you sort of maintain a tightening bias, in other words, an inclination to lift interest rates. So I think what the Reserve Bank governor has made clear that he was going to be guided by the data, he's going to be guided by the evidence. And I think the strategy of keeping everyone guessing is a good thing. The last thing that you want is people to say, well, that's it, you know, sort of rate hikes, you know, sort of out of the road now. I can factor that in my decision, yes, and I'll just go as I did before. That's certainly what the Reserve Bank governor doesn't want to see.
Yeah, so I guess that's why the governor made it clear in his commentary and then a speech a day later as well that there is a chance that they'll continue to raise again if necessary. So they've made that crystal clear, as you pointed out. So markets haven't really rejoiced as far as what we've seen on the Aussie share market, but certainly a rate hike might have been perhaps more negative as far as how markets might have responded. But that takes us to the upcoming week. We've got a key update on jobs that will be out on Thursday. What are you expecting and why might that be important?
We're expecting a rise in jobs around about 20,000, the participation rate basically remaining unchanged, but the unemployment rate edging up a little bit from 3.5% to 3.6%. Now, that's no big change. For the last 9 months, we've seen the unemployment rate between 3.4% and 3.7%, and we're expecting 3.6%. So basically, it means the job market remains tight. The expectation is, with the economy slowing, that the unemployment rate will edge up over time and could get to as high as 4-4.5% over the next 12 months or so. But it would still mean, yes, so that the job market is tight. It'd be nice on Thursday to be able to get some wage figures as well, because we know that the Reserve Bank governor is looking closely at the jobs and the strength of the job market, and of course that affects consumer spending and also in terms of wages. But it has been a little bit volatile, the employment figures in the last couple of months. We had some declines, and 2 months of declines, and then we had the big rise last month of almost 65,000. So I suppose we've got a brace for some volatility.
So how do you think markets might respond if there is a number that is significantly higher or lower than what's expected, say the 20,000 that you're predicting?
They'll basically look at the figures and say, well, thanks very much, and you know, sort of what's the next indicator to look out for? You know, sort of, I don't think we're going to get any key reaction from it. 20,000, 25,000, yes, so those sorts of job figures are basically normal and natural, you know, sort of for each and every month. So we'll just have to wait and see, you know, so what the reaction is. But we wouldn't expect, you know, too much in terms of investor reaction.
Yeah, and then 2 weeks out from that, you've got the quarterly inflation report, which is probably going to be the big one that the RBA will be watching, that will be just ahead of the next decision on interest rates in early May. So if we do get a strong update on employment, if inflation is rising at a faster clip than many have anticipated, you know, you could always see the RBA moving higher once more.
Certainly could. And as you rightly point out, yes, you know, so it's that the quarterly measure of inflation together with the monthly measure of inflation coming out at the end of April. After that, the Reserve Bank will sit down and look at its forecasts, and then it'll make the decision in early May about interest rates, and then release the latest forecast. And so there's a fair bit happening.
And there are two surveys on consumer confidence next Tuesday as well. So one's a weekly update, one's a monthly one. What are you expecting here?
Well, you wouldn't expect too much great joy, but you know, you could get a blip. You could get a blip, you know, so the fact that the Reserve Bank has paused. Of course, they're given that caveat, as we've spoken about, you know, so the tightening bias, that they still could lift rates again. But we could get, you know, sort of perhaps a modest positive improvement. I've got to remember that the monthly index from Westpac and the Melbourne Institute is pretty much close to a 30-year low. So we have to go back to the 91 recession, really, to find, you know, so much lower consistent figures in terms of consumer confidence. We've got the NAB survey coming out on Tuesday as well. We know that business conditions are actually pretty good. You know, so a reading of plus 17, the normal reading is plus 5. So it shows that businesses still remain in very, very good shape. Confidence levels, not so great shape, a minus 4 there. So businesses, just like consumers, a little bit cautious about the future, but companies are saying, yes, so they're doing okay still.
So what type of indicators are included in that business survey, the NAB survey?
Where we get orders, we get, you know, capital investment, we get production, you know, sort of. So it's the whole gamut. You know, so some measures of prices which are in there as well, some purchasing prices, so input prices as well as output prices. So and in the current environment, the Reserve Bank is looking at particularly consumer spending, it's looking at wages, it's looking at prices. They're going to pick up every, you know, indicator that they can, you know, be able to get some sort of guide. And there's a fair bit, you know, so that you can pull apart in terms of that NAB business survey.
And the thinking is, with consumer confidence, if the more optimistic people are about their money and the finances and their perspectives on the economy, the more likely they are to go out there and spend, I guess, right? So the weaker that continues to be, the you know, the more concern there might be that consumers are doing it tough.
Well, that's the theory. The theory is that consumers, if they're more chipper, they're more likely to spend. But what we're seeing is, you know, from the confidence readings, it just shows that consumers are very much downcast at the moment, but they're still out there and spending. And you know, the simple fact is that people have got jobs. They've got confidence about holding on to their jobs, confidence about getting new jobs with, you know, so higher wages. And in that sort of environment, you can be concerned about interest rates. You can be concerned about the living costs, but if you've got your job, you know, so that's a significant component in terms of why you would keep spending.
And overseas, the US inflation report on Wednesday will arguably be the highlight.
Well, the policymakers all around the world are going to be looking at that reading coming out on Wednesday. Because you've got some central banks like New Zealand lifting interest rates by 50 basis points. Then you've got Australia pausing. A little bit of confusion about, you know, what the central banks, you know, sort of doing around the world at the moment. So you've got the consumer price index coming out. It's not the favoured measure for the Federal Reserve, but it's certainly very much a key measure. And the expectation is the core rate, once you strip out the volatile elements of food and energy, expected to rise by 0.4%. But the annual rate could fall from 5.5% to 5%. So such a big fall in the space of 1 month, that could see markets pick up attention, pay attention to that. We could see policymakers in other parts of the world heaving a sigh of relief that, you know, so if US inflation is coming down considerably, that, you know, so suggests global inflation more likely, you know, so is coming down. And certainly the Reserve Bank would be heartened by that outcome. So we've got consumer price index, we've got producer price index, so a measure of business inflation coming out the next day. And then on Friday, we've got retail spending, industrial production and consumer sentiment. So the activity readings and the economy. So the US has got it all. Yeah, so next week, and we will be paying attention. China's got some inflation figures coming out on Tuesday as well. But when you've got an annual rate of inflation sitting at 1%, yeah, so the Chinese, well, yes, they're just not overly concerned like other parts of the world about an inflation problem.
And that tends to not move markets as much either for that reason exactly. And we're still 4 weeks out from the next decision by the US Central Bank. So it's quite a long way away still. But you're right, that's still going to be a risk for markets Wednesday night and heading into the last couple of days of trade locally as well. The US earnings season also is going to kick off next Friday. And as is usually the case, Craig, you've got the financials, the big banks, you know, generally kicking things off. So when you get the likes of JP Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and others like BlackRock releasing their results, you know that things are going to start getting quite busy. They'll likely receive a lot of attention, I think, Craig, because the focus has been on US banks, obviously, in the last few weeks with the collapse. So it wouldn't be, you would expect that many of these institutions would try to reassure investors that they're in solid shape, there's nothing to worry about. And this will mark the start of a really busy 3 weeks of profit results, because through to the 90% roughly of S&P 500 companies will be out with their results over that three-week period starting next Friday. And the market's expecting profits to generally go backwards, something like 5 to 10% is what's expected, and lower earnings really across a number of sectors as well.
Well, as you say, yes, so those weak expectations are already built in, yes, and if we get much weaker than that, yes, so you'll get a reaction in terms of the markets. Financials have been somewhat of a drag in the United States as well as in Australia since the start of this year, and particularly since the banking crisis reared its ugly head, yes, a couple of weeks ago. So, yes, it's very much sitting in key focus at the moment. The other thing I suppose we're going to be watching yesterday over the next week, the next couple of weeks, whether we're going to get a further pivoting from the markets. Mm-hmm. So mostly over this year, we've seen the growth areas of the markets, consumer discretionary, the technology sector, pushing its way forward. And just in the last couple of days, what we're seeing is a much more defensive posture being adopted by investors, moving into healthcare, utilities, you know, so, and the like. We'll have to wait and see, you know, so whether, you know, so there's another pivot again. But for investors, it's certainly a time to stay alert, because you do have, you know, so those earning figures coming out from the United States. The key data, as we've been talking about, and certainly, yes, so that will provide, yes, a lot of guidance for investors. The concern, yes, so now is, yes, so perhaps the U.S. economy is slowing too much, that it may go into recession, and what the Federal Reserve may do at its next meeting is pause, you know, so just like we saw in Australia.
And in Australia as well, we've got quarterly updates that in the weeks ahead, you'll start to see from many mining and energy companies telling investors, you know, how they've done over the past quarter. So quickly, holiday shortened week ahead, second straight holiday shortened week. The US market will be shut on Friday for Good Friday. Most of the world will be as well, or at least, you know, Australia, New Zealand, the London Stock Exchange, most of Europe, Hong Kong, but they'll also be shut on Monday. So we'll be playing catch up because the US will be back online in the Monday session. But interrupted trade can see things being a little more unpredictable, I guess, in the next couple of sessions. But Mr. James, great to chat. We'll do this again next time.
Why not? We'll do it again. We'll do it again. Thank you.